The Ocelli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ocelli.
31st day of May, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you're hearing me ramble on about what I'm saying right now. Anyway, we are live on the 31st day of May, again, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. But you're probably hearing us some other time, some other place, some other way outside of being on the live stream at Ocelli.com or through your various Fondle Slabs of choice, your applicable applications and radio stuff. So no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, welcome. It is Wild Card Wednesday and therefore booked by Nature Boy. And this was one I wanted to do anyway. Sometimes he gives me some guests I'm not really anxious to get to. I got to be honest, and I don't always let you guys know who that is. Also, we're recording on video, so this will be up on Rockfin. My guest can also use it on Rockfin or wherever she feels like using it as well. And I'm always happy to have a woman on the show. Yeah, I use the word woman. I almost feel weird about using that anymore because, you know, politics and all that crap, but who knows? And we were having a little back and forth just before we went to air about what is sexist, what is ableist, and what is racist. I guess everything can be racist, but are we going to discuss this tonight? No, we're not. I've got a cult priestess with me. So, gee, what are we going to have to discuss? We're going to have to get into some paganism. And wow, this is a weird comfort zone for me that maybe isn't comfortable because I don't get to talk to too many pagans on the air, fellow pagans. And I do believe a cult priestess would be qualified as a fellow pagan. Maybe she's a Wiccan, too. I don't know. I am not. But here we go. And what is the difference? And will you learn that tonight? I guess we'll find out as I have my first formal meeting with a cult priestess who I've appeared with on, conspiring with Mr. Cooper and somewhere else, I think. We've been on a show together somewhere, and maybe it was I was producing Get Mad. Maybe he had her on first. He might have, but it doesn't matter. I've been anxiously waiting, and in fact, this was delayed because there was some issue a couple weeks ago and whatnot, and it wasn't me who had the medical issue that time, so rarity there. Anyway, it is what it is, and just full disclosure, nothing wrong with the cult priestess. She just had a dental issue, I think it was, a couple of weeks ago. Doesn't matter because she's here now. Occult Priestess, how you doing?
Hello, Chuck Ocelli and the Ocelli Effect fans. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Definitely happy to have you along. And I'll tell you, over the years, there have been very few guests that could even go near the box that you're in because I'm very picky about it. I have access to many, many people that say they practice witchcraft, that say that they are pagan practitioners of one type or another, and so on and so forth. And, of course, for you hypersensitive Christian people out there, calm down. This is not a Satanist. And I have had a Satanist on my show, but this is not a Satanist, just so you know. And don't forget it, because occult priestess, although that term is a little odd, so What is up with that? First of all, look, how do you take a name like that? You do realize what you're going to get. Let's begin from the beginning. I mean, is this something you took on just to do podcasting, or were you always the occult priestess?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you so much. So the occult priestess came around 2007. I had owned two occult stores, and being Wiccan, pagan, I took a pagan name the first year I became pagan, and so I was Banshee for about 10 years of my life, an Irish Banshee. Ben Sidhe, the queen of the fairies, thank you very much. But around 2006, my life was changing. My spiritual path was changing. I began feeling kundalini energy and having visions during the day. And so about a year later in 2007, I was no longer affiliated with my stores, and I needed something that was just me, just mine. And I have a spirit guide, Hermes Trismegistus, the Greek, and together we came up with the Occult Priestess as a title. And the reason why the occult, before, this was 2007, before occult has become a dirty word, really, I found it a very appropriate word for what I do and what I study and what I teach. The occult is basically the mysteries, and that's the way I take it. Most people today will take the occult as a medical term, which literally, as you know, just means hidden. Like you can have pneumonia.
Yeah, let me interrupt you. Because a lot of things you just said there that would fly by a lot of people, and I want to get real specific, okay? First of all, we're hearing a bunch of different things that a lot of people think of as separate in the spiritualist world, okay? I'll just describe it as that. Occult simply means hidden anyway. And that's a very simple way to look at it, and hidden or mystery all works together, makes sense. But the idea that you're talking about Hermes, you're talking about Greek mythos of one type or another, although there are some people that argue that that's actually Greek history as opposed to Greek mythology through certain interpretations, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm hearing already, though, is a bunch of things. The first thing is you selected a name, which is a pagan concept. Wiccan, you said Wiccan slash pagan. You do recognize there's a difference there, and a lot of people don't. So I wonder if you wouldn't help us out a little bit, give us a shorthand as to why it is you separate those two things. And also, at some point, I think we're going to have to discuss it because, my brand of paganism is very much about syncretism. And the idea that, quite frankly, one of the most pagan books on the planet is the Christian Bible. And, and also the many, many practices of the many alleged non-pagan religions are really actually very pagan. But I get in a lot of trouble when I say stuff like that. Anyway, we'll talk about syncretism later. Let's talk about the differentiation. And also, when you say a cult store, now, that's kind of an open-ended term because you could have been one of those crystal places, and I've known lots of ladies with names like Astrid and, things like a lot of Astrids I came across, actually, a few
Mine
years
are
back.
Ravens. I'm always running into the Ravens.
Ravens, okay. Astrid I came across a lot, and there was a lot of, like, you know, Bella, I forget what the other thing is, but Bella something. It's a blend, and it's usually related to some of the the white European kind of occultist stuff, the white European paganist stuff. And a lot of people think of it that way, too, where they think of the Druids and they think of, Stonehenge and those types. But they don't think about it beyond that. Now, I could tell you, and you probably will recognize if I say to you that I honor my own actual lineage and heritage by the fact that, yes, indeed, I do follow some of the Celtic stuff. Because of the Irish roots, but also, I'm kind of got a little tie into the Roman paganistic thing because of the Sicilian roots. And that creates a conflict on one end or another. Now,
we're going to fight.
I'm telling you all this stuff, but the fun part is, well, it is Greek, but I'm telling you the fun part of all this stuff is that half of the people listening to us right now easily have no idea what the hell I was just talking about.
For real? Are you serious?
Yeah. So help me out here. First of all, let's separate. What is the difference between a pagan and a Wiccan, if you wouldn't mind explaining? And remember, not for me. For the pedestrian audience, please.
Okay. Every Wiccan is pagan, but not every pagan is Wiccan. And how many times have we said that in this lifetime? Thousands.
Right.
And so I got into my very first book on witchcraft was, well, it was actually Scott Cunningham, but we'll fast forward to The Complete Book of Witchcraft by Raymond Buckland. Mm-hmm. And so that's what taught me the different sects of Wicca and what you could choose in different sects of paganism. And sect is S-E-C-T-S, guys, sex.
Right. Much like you have different sects of Christianity as
indeed.
Well.
Yes.
That's how you can relate it. You know, not every Catholic is a Christian, but not every Christian is a Catholic. How about that? Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's excellent. Thank you for helping. It's a cauldron, and we're both working on it, dude.
Exactly.
Warming it up. So I actually taught paganism, Wicca in particular, the Big Blue Book, to a coven of over 20 people. And we had the coven for several years active, and I still have the coven now, not exactly active, but we still talk and do things when we can. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very entrenched in this, and that's the thing. I don't get to talk about it often because, like you've been saying, nobody understands a word coming out of my mouth.
Well,
and I'm speaking English.
Yeah, that plus you're a witch and therefore bad things, you know, so, and I'm not even saying, by the way, simply because she said she's pagan does not mean that she practices witchcraft. That's another misnomer. You may or you may not. So I don't know that. I've never asked you.
Right. Not all pagans or Wiccans are magical practitioners.
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Right. No, I'm not saying correct like great for you because I know you know this stuff. I'm just having fun because I've actually got somebody else who can say these things on air. And so I'm going to enjoy you telling the audience this. Please proceed.
What direction would you like me to head in?
Well, I want to talk about how, you know, look, there is a very pragmatic idea here that is not just about the, you know, I have felt this and that, you know, you've seen the silliness that people have put behind this. And quite frankly, a lot of people have gone out and gone into it as a business. Now, you had a business at one point, so I'm not judging you. But I am saying a lot of people that go into this as a business, they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. They use some buzzwords. They say some very feel-good things. They talk about, you know, the goddesses are so loving and embrace. First of all, they're not all loving and embracing of everybody. You gotta know a little bit about, you know. Anyway, so there's all that. And some of it is that, you know, that woo-woo, airy-fairy kind of stuff, which I think is counterproductive because at the end of the day, It succeeds in making nice with people that want to hear those things, but also scaring the hell out of somebody else who is dedicated to their, you know, what they're directed to believe by their people at the pulpit and will therefore have a negative label. I mean, automatically, I feel like I'm a bit older than you. Maybe I'm not. Maybe it's just, you know, I clearly look older than you, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I am. But I lived through the Satanic Panic time.
Oh, yeah, dude. And,
you know.
I have a video on that with Sticks, Hex, and Hammer. We talked all about the Satanic Panic. It's crazy.
Okay, so you're old enough to be able to reference that. And that means that, look, the moment that you would have said anything like that back then, you are obviously of the devil. You are the devil's work. The fact that you are deviating from this, which is the sacred truth, is all the devil's work. And, of course, I scare the real hell out of them when I tell them that, you know, first of all, I accept your book. I accept your God. I accept all of it as part of the equation. And they don't like to hear that at all, okay, because there is truth in there. It's not a historical document, the Christian Bible. It is not history, but it does contain truth. And then they get really confused and usually just try and go for the, well, you're working for the devil side of things. So let's talk about that a bit. I mean, you know, you were involved in your business and everything. Had you encountered the anti-pagan individuals out there who were like, look, you're against Christ, you're evil? What about
no
that?
One came into my stores to lecture me. In fact, our incense was the best in the county, so a lot of priests came and bought their incense from us. We had no issue in our community whatsoever. It was very warm and welcoming. But the moment you walked into the occult shop on West 8th Street in Cincinnati, Ohio, you knew you were home. We had an article written about us up in City Beat, wrote an article about us, and called us the Christian Science Reading Room of Paganism because there was nothing untoward going on. There was nothing creepy or weird or dark going on at my occult shop. So that we still got on TV a lot, but we weren't that sensational.
So let me just be blunt. I mean, was this like a white neighborhood or a black neighborhood? Because I do note that if you have a primary settlement of either black or white people, a shop like that is received a little differently. So Cincinnati, it could be one or the other very strongly. So which one?
Well, I'll tell you what really matters. It was a poor neighborhood.
Oh, my next question. You've answered it. Okay. So in a poor neighborhood, how has that received, that type of open-minded stuff? I mean, how did that go for you?
No one ever harassed us. We had a bar right across the street that everybody would gather at and have fun. We didn't really get any evil stink eyes going on because I think we behaved ourselves and we acted like we were good neighbors. Also, probably a big part of it was for several years, we collected food for the homeless as part of our pagan I don't know, just trying to help everyone, you know, in the community. And so that's what we did. We collected canned goods once a year. And I think that also gave us a better kind of reputation in the neighborhood.
Right. I mean, it's strange because, you know, nowadays there are groups like Unity and things like that, which I appreciate. You're aware of Unity, right?
I think so.
It's that one that has the sprawling. You'll see the crescent moon along with the cross, along with the Star of David,
okay.
Along with
okay, coexist is what that is to me. Coexist.
Yeah, it's the coexist thing, but it's not coexist. This is you come together, and it is a cobbling together of various spiritual practices, all being kind of shown to whoever decides to come. And
oh, interesting. Yeah. Like a powwow of different religions.
Kind of, sort of, yeah, where you may have a Christian speaker immediately followed by a Muslim, immediately followed by somebody like me.
We should be doing that everywhere.
And that's the thing. It's an ecumenical exchange that isn't just limited to the mainstream. And it's rather fascinating. Yeah, look into Unity. See if you have one near you. Cause I found
Well, are you talking about Unity churches? Cause I have been to those.
No. Not the regular Unity. There's a Unity group, which is not a church. They make a very big point that they're not a church. Although functionally they behave just like any church I've ever been to.
The Unity that I've been to are prosperity gospel. It's all about how God can make you money.
No.
Okay. This is not. Totally different.
This is literally the embodiment of syncretism where it's like, look, it's all the same stuff, folks. It's just that it's being presented to you in different ways, and we should respect it all and bring it together here, and everybody can, yeah.
It's just that religion has been used as a device from our governments and oligarchs and kings and queens to keep us separate for generations. I mean, it's pretty simple. You know that.
Absolutely. So I find it fascinating, though, that you didn't encounter a lot of, resistance regarding setting up a pagan business.
I'll tell you why. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. And being a psychic child in a Jehovah's Witness house who also has sleep paralysis, which everyone thought was evil anyway, I was always called those names and had that kind of label upon me. But as I became an adult, and especially after I began studying Buddhism with my guru, Srimamo Devi, my spirit, soul, color, light changed. And I no longer attracted those haters.
Wow. See, I don't know. It's always been a weird magnetic thing for me, because I discussed this actually on a radio show with you briefly. Don't worry. I'm not going to break down and cry this time, but I talked about my father's suicide. But after that, I started to experience, and I was 4 years old, I started to experience visions. And, it was within a couple of weeks of that I found myself being presented to a church for an exorcism, because, you know, the wonderful people around me were so enlightened about it. I had priests looking at me going, look, he's angry at God right now, but he's not possessed. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you told him that God came and took his father. Of course he's pissed. And I remember the priest being very pragmatic about it and trying to calm down, you know, my grandmother and my mother, which was a rather fascinating experience. And she tried several places to see if somebody would come and exorcise these odd demons.
Man, that is horrifying at 4 years old. With adults who are supposed to be, you know, your caretakers. In fact, adults are your god and goddess at that age. So you were shamed. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. It's a bizarre thing because, yeah, actually at that age, who is your provider? Who is the informer of the universe and who controls the world? You could qualify that as a god. Well, in an ideal situation, your parents are doing that at that age. So for a time period in your life, your parents are supposed to be your gods, are they not?
Totally.
You know? So anyway, back to this whole thing about dividing up, because this is great. I'm glad you never experienced that, by the way. That's a blessing in and of itself. And I'm grateful to even hear that that's a possibility. But the great thing is, again, to separate between the Wiccan and the pagan. See, to me, Wiccan is more of the lighter weight end of things a lot of times because
it's more from the Golden Dawn.
Yeah, I know, but even with that, it's, you know what, if you remove the Wiccans from the Golden Dawn, I think they still would have been the Golden Dawn. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Oh, we do have someone in the chat asking, it's S. Christy Aphrodite. What a fabulous name. I love her name. She says, does she have a name or a website? And hello, I'm Corinne Wilson, occultpriestess.com. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Well, I did start to talk about that and mention that you do podcasts and things. You're also on Rockfin, right? And
I've been a professional psychic for over 30 years. And it's amazing what I've learned over these years getting into people's psyche and hearts. And so I really think I'm a rare gem in this world because what I chose to do with my time, and it was to help others.
Mm. Christy is a caretaker of the land. And somebody who has, now let's see if I can get this straight, the Ozarks Church of Nature is what she calls it, but it's a swath of land where she grows things the proper way and respects the land and nature, even including returning some of the things back to the land during her process, et cetera. And we'll be having Christy on again very soon. She was a regular guest many times on here, and Christy's got a very long history as a broadcaster herself and stuff. So hello, Christy, you just got a big old shout out. But
she says it's the Ozarks Church of Nature and Magical Food Forest. That's amazing.
There you go. And all of that is correct, and I think it is a beautiful thing that she has going there.
And kudos to her, man. That's really hard. And I feel like I've been tricked my whole life to go to the city, go to the bright lights, go to, you know, it's like go to the light, Carolyn, go where all the electricity is and all the people. And she's smarter than me on that one because she's already doing her own thing in nature the way God intended.
Right. And actually has a whole life experience there where she lived a hell of a lot. Believe me, she was homeless at one point, paralyzed, healed herself, and et cetera, through nature. And through, you know, honest, what others might call medicine at this point, but, you know, again, was just called the natural order of things. When you ate the proper things, your food is your medicine is your food, you know, et cetera.
Sam, I keep calling you Sam. So sorry, Chuck, we've got to get back to the garden. You know that song, Get Back to the Garden? We totally have to as a species, or we're going to be transhuman creeps.
See, now there's the next part of this I want to get into is, look, you're a psychic and all that. I hate using terms like that.
I mean, the muggles really don't let you make up terms that are, they don't use terms that are accurate, actually. And if I told you all of my talents, then you'd say, why don't we just call you a psychic, please? Because it's way too long.
Well, let's get back into that though, because you talked about, you know, you're coming from a Jehovah's Witness background. Now, look, there's already a mystical aspect to that to begin with. It's just that it's stuck in a very serious discipline where, you know, it's end of days constantly and all that.
It's true. But they did have some things that were right, because I think that the Jehovah's Witnesses were actually put together as a religion by the New World Order. So they slipped in some, you know, plans and let us understand that we as a people would be going through these things. And so it was really wild to have that childhood religion that warned me against the New World Order, but at the same time was a part of it.
Mm. See, now there's the interesting thing is practicing as a pagan, would you say that somehow now there are people who have made an argument to me that you become a tool of the New World Order by practicing these, you know, more arcane kind of things, you know, I'm trying to be real general here because I've been approached many times by people who just, you know, try and beat me over the head with the, you need to accept Jesus as your only Lord and Savior, et cetera.
Well, I'm over that, man. I'm so over that. I'm friends with Christians, and I've learned recently, like past couple years, that I hate politics. I'm not political. But if I had to be, I'd be defined as a Christian conservative.
That's
and that goes back to the science reading room, right, from the occult shop. I'm just, you know, a good girl. And I understand right from wrong, and I've learned discernment. And that's one of the reasons why my spirit guide red-pilled me at age 30. That's when my Kundalini awakening really started, and that was around 2007, 2008. And so I was actually let into the conspiracy world through my spirit guide saying, hey, dude, there's a lot going on that you have no idea about, because I had been into people's psyches, into people's hearts, and some into pop culture and how it was affecting people, you know, and how they were being brainwashed. But I had no idea how deep it went, and that we've been fighting this battle of good and bad for lifetimes, and that I always incarnate at a time of great need. And I think a lot of us do.
Right. I mean, and that's a fascinating thing, too. Of course, time is not linear as well, but we're not going to break into that because I want to back up again. You've used the word Kundalini a couple of times, and I know very well that there are some listeners who are not familiar with what you might mean by that. Would you mind giving a thumbnail sketch of it for somebody who's uninitiated?
Okay. So Kundalini comes to us from our Eastern brothers and sisters as a definition. And traditionally, Pandit Gopi Krishna, you can find him on YouTube, he has passed, but his videos are there, will tell you about his Kundalini experience, which is an awakening of the soul. And it does happen differently for different people. His awakening was very textbook. He felt energy coming up his spine and eventually landing in the crown chakra and blowing that wide open. And first of all, I was let into this new world through this Kundalini energy, which is something I did not call upon myself whatsoever, nor did I know what it was. I am with Guru Srimamodevi of the Karma Kagyu lineage of Tibetan Buddhism. And I believe that, you know, I've been with Gurudevi for many lifetimes, and this Kundalini has been cultivated over lifetimes, and it is a very special and precious gift, although it does drive you crazy. And that's the thing. I think a lot of Westerners, Americans, have Kundalini, but they are misdiagnosed and sent to the psych ward and put on drugs. I began having visions when I was asked by the ancient god Thoth in a vision, which was normal for me to talk to Thoth, but he said, are you ready to start like this synchronicity machine? Are you, and I answered him back with song lyrics. Yes, I'm ready to fall in love. I knew something big was coming in my spiritual life. And that's when I started having my day visions all the time, and I couldn't stop them. There was no control because my ego was slipping. And that's what the Kundalini really did for me. It kicked my ego completely out of the way and put my soul into my body so that my soul and body could experience different realities at the same time. And when I say different realities, I mean different levels of truth. So on one level of truth, you could be looking at a bird and it's just birding and doing its thing. On another level of truth, that bird is actually communicating with you. And sometimes God is communicating with you through the bird. So there's many different levels, and you can see it all at once. And that's why it's hard to explain. The only thing I can compare it to is LSD or mushrooms, because obviously it has to do with the third eye being completely awake. But if the heart is not awake at the same time, there can be major issues.
No, absolutely. All entirely true. So it's interesting to me because we wind up having to utilize the language to communicate things on multiple levels. And I hear you doing some of the same things that I do, and I'm really happy to hear it because now I feel a lot less alone. Thanks. But here's the thing. Like, when people want to come up with one of the – let's go with the conspiracy culture for a moment. We touched on politics. We touched on religion a bit. Let's now go – let's hit every one of the warm rails, okay? None of them are really hot, but let's go warm. You know, because really it would only be hot if people were well-informed and had the intensity of knowledge to go along with it. And the fact is it's sorely lacking anymore. So
true.
Flat Earth.
Okay. Did you just say that?
I did.
Are we really going to give time to this?
I am. I am. And I'll tell you why. You see, here's the thing about it. To my mind, no, the Earth is not flat in a 3D sense, etc. However, does that mean that it's an absolute untruth? No. Why? Because there is the ability, as was explained in just about any creation story, and I do mean any creation story, whether we go back thousands of years before your, you know, Garden of Eden and such, before the Elohim got together, and that was a group of people, by the way, or not people, excuse me, a group of
beings
that got together and said, let's do this with this thing that's sitting here, which, by the way, means that Adam's not the first man. But anyway, and all of that goodness. And by the way, there's more than one gender in the word Elohim. Anyway, all of that coming together, in the creation myth, here's the thing. There's terraforming at all times, and what has happened will happen and has already happened. So is it possible that the Earth could also be flat depending on your experience? Yeah, I guess so. In the 3D world though, no, it's actually not flat. I try.
You know what I think?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I think?
I don't. But
I think their consciousness is flat, and that's why they see the Earth is flat. So I see it as a very binary, one and zero, black and white kind of mind that needs to believe that. But it's the same for me as the mandala effect, which was made up by some woman who went to college for too many years. I mean, literally made up. Yet all these people run with it. And that's why I think it's a psyop. And I think Flat Earth is a psyop. And I've actually met the Flat Earth guy, whose name I can't remember right this second, and interviewed him. And I do not think he's a genius. I'm sorry.
No, no problem there. But here's the fun part. Even when it comes to the Mandela effect, to my mind, here's the thing. Just because it is a psyop doesn't also mean there wasn't something organic. I mean, quite frankly, the people that run psyops on the planet right now is not the A-team. They're not very inventive. They're not creating brand new things. So, you know, they could take something that is actually happening and take advantage of it. Now, I am one of these guys who is constantly, and by the way, I spent like a couple hours with those new prisoner guys going over stuff and just wrecking the whole, like, okay, let's play a game. Mm. What do you remember about this? Well, look at what happens when we actually look.
That's fine.
Et cetera. And, you know, the human mind is not a recording device,
no,
okay?
Thank your goodness.
Now, your spirit is a recording device, but do you know how to play it? It doesn't matter if I've got a room full of reel-to-reel tapes. If I've got no machine to put them on, nobody's going to hear the music. Same thing with the CD. Okay, so here's the thing. Your spirit, your energy, your water, even water, actually, is a recording device. But you don't know how to play it, it doesn't matter. You'll never hear the music, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the truth of that stuff. And when it comes to the Mandela effect, yeah, for the most part, it's misremembering and the malleability of individuals' memory, so on and so forth.
The thing is that it supports a nihilistic view of reality, and it goes back to Marxism and all those other Bolshevik buttheads.
Ah, tell us about that.
Because it's moral relativism. A, if there is no God, God is dead, Nietzsche. A, if God is dead, then you're God. You're the one who rules everything. And therefore, you can say the Earth is flat and there's a mandala effect. But that Marxist feeling of everything is mushed together no matter what you do, like in different timelines, You could be different people and nothing you do matters because we're in just a wooey universe and there's no pilot at the head of anything. We are chaos. And that is taking people's, really their parent or parents away from them. Taking away heaven, taking away everything that we were born with, and putting science fiction, in my opinion, in its place.
Which is funny because it's exactly the principles by which, now not the Hollywood version of Satanism, but the actual satanic people that are out there, that's basically their foundational belief. You just laid it out, that I am the God of this universe.
They are self-serving a-holes.
And that's what they are. And there you go. They absolutely reject the connectivity, the interactivity, the interlocking nature of us all. The syncretism. That is the rejection. That's truly satanic. I always find it funny when these people that scream and rail against Satanism and Luciferianism and blah, blah, blah. And then they embrace things that I know lead logically straight to that nihilistic view that causes you. Like, what do you think of that contradiction, and what would you like to say about that?
The biggest contradiction is Christians that vote.
Please explain.
So politics is a satanic religion. You are putting your president above God, above Jesus, above Mary, above all the saints. These are the people you worship. These are the people you pay money to. And these are the people you sign a contract with to vote for. Your soul is signing that contract. And we can look into Masonry to see how important contracts are and how they can trap people, entire generations of families even. So if you're a God-fearing Christian, then don't vote. I mean, you're voting in like Donald Trump or, oh my gosh, Biden's son is a crack addict, child molester. Biden might be a child molester. I mean, and they're doing health initiatives for America. Mm-hmm. These people are codependent, alcoholic, addicted, riddled with demons. And I actually believe, if I'm going to get on my soapbox, that politicians in general are a type of demon. And I see the demonic system. There you go. I see it.
There you have it. So I guess you probably went through a couple of stages of looking at the David Icke-ism out there.
Oh, certainly, where they're all related and stuff. Totally, yeah. Man. David Icke totally opened my eyes to that.
But, on the one hand, it's like, look, at one point he was screaming, I am Jesus Christ, and there are lizard people, and I get
But wait a minute. When he was screaming that he was Jesus Christ, he was going through a Kundalini awakening like me. And there were times where I thought I was Jesus, and I'm a girl, so...
Well, but here's the crazy little secret, and here we go. Somebody will cut this out later and take it out of context and call me insane, but he's right though, because we are at all times actually interconnected to everything anyway, every time, every place, and every other. Indeed, you only have to go back 50 generations for us to have common ancestry all across the planet. By the way, it doesn't matter what race, what continent you're on, anything else. That is physical reality.
That's so sweet. I didn't know that fact. It's beautiful. Say it again. Yeah. Can you say it again?
You get common ancestry. If you go back 50 generations, you start to find common ancestry.
I love that.
No matter how
because
far
we are brothers and sisters under God.
But we are, but both are true. See, that's the interesting thing about this is that I see brotherhood and sisterhood and I see the interconnectivity and I say to myself, this means that we're all the same thing. We're all actually should be interested in each other's interests. We should not be making enemies. Even that which you hate, even the most common sort of precepts that people throw at you, the ridiculous rhetoric that comes out of the most uneducated, illiterate mouth possible, who says, God is in everything. I agree with you.
Yep.
I agree that, maybe I would say plural, but okay, we'll go with it. God is in everything. Yes, true. So that means God is in all the things you hate as well. God is in all of the ugly actions. See, again, when I pointed out that not every mother goddess there is loving, you know what? Not every mood is loving. Not everything is loving. Some things that appear loving are not, and some things that appear to be hateful and spiteful are actually rather merciful. And here's the thing. It's very difficult to parse it out with such a simplistic, blunt instrument as, you know, like I said, those sorts of bumper stickers. You know, God is everywhere. Okay, God is everywhere. Fine. But that means God was there during this, during this, during this, during this. And in fact, if creator of all things, then that means God is the creator of the adversary as well. God is the creator of all the levels in between. God is the creator of the independent thought. God is the impetus behind every single thing you've ever seen creatively done by a man or a woman is what? Inspired by God.
God is the chess master of the black and white board.
So there you have it. So why is it that we're going to argue and fight with one another if we know we're all on the same team by default? You know what I'm saying?
But not by default. In fact, if people, bloodlines, back to David Icke and, you know, all the bloodlines, if they have actually, like Solomon, made deals with demons to get his temple built, and I believe cursed his bloodline. And so we have many, like King Charles. He is the ancestor. His ancestor is Vlad Tempes, Vlad the Impaler, who Dracula was made off of. So when we look at the bloodlines, I believe they really are demonic. I believe they have been more than just possessed, that now there's a demon residing within them. And so do I identify with those people? No. Let me explain. There's some nuances here. I believe in all of these lifetimes that we've been incarnating, you have been leaning towards the light or towards the darkness. And many of us can agree now that we're at a graduation point, a cutting off point, where you're either going to fly or die. That's how I like to put it. So you're either going to evolve or dissolve. That's another thing I say.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm not as grandiose in my line. I know from whence I came. I've been a soldier and a medic, and I'm about done here. I don't want to come back. So
yeah, I think we're all about done here, especially the Buddhists, because we took a vow to keep reincarnating until this crap's done.
Right.
But I do believe that these people's souls have become completely compromised, and they are no longer our brother or sister. Now, I'm not saying violence. I'm not saying hurt or pain or whatever. God will guide you what to do. Just listen to God. And I think the major adversary, the major dark, negative, evil energy on this planet is God's job. And so do the Christians. They think Jesus is going to come back and kick ass, right? So we all understand there is an evil, and this evil has taken over many people, because that's why we're fighting. That's why we're having problems. But also, what you might not recognize is, through childhood and through young adulthood, we are dealing with the ego. And if we were not raised right, we are going to do anything and everything to satisfy that ego. And that is the actual monster of mankind.
Well, there is a complex question too, because at all times we're subject to external influence, and you know, we do our best. Most of us who are aware do our best to protect ourselves, but the truth is that at all times you're subject to external influence, because that is your design. You know,
sure.
Very much like they tried to separate us by more than 6 feet for a good reason during the pandemic, right?
Because the aura is 6 feet.
Right, because that is literally the interconnected point. That's where you lose your natural Wi-Fi, baby. I mean, I'm not calling you baby. It's an expression.
Got it.
This is where you lose it, is at 6 feet. So that's why they said pull them apart. They won't be. And you know what? I've seen the result of that over and over again. We've been compartmentalized. And this is the thing. You know, we are all at this point, right? Nobody's gone to Mars to live, as far as I know. Not recent history, anyway. All right? So we're all here on this rock. Now, I don't want to argue about flat Earth or whatever, because, first of all, it's not flat. It's not a ball exactly, but it ain't flat, okay? But anyway, the thing is that we're all subject to being on this same spaceship, so to speak, depending on your perspective. And why do I say that? Because there is a body which is in space and is traveling, whether we know it or not, and we're all on it together, right?
So I'm on a big turtle, dude. I'm on the world turtle.
That, you know what? I've had somebody tell me that. Have you been through that whole? Okay. Good.
I love it.
I do love
it. My spirit guide's favorite creation story is the world turtle.
That is a beautiful story, though. You know what? Would you give people a thumbnail of that real fast? Because I guarantee you a lot of people haven't heard it. And then when you're done with that, I want to talk about what it is you do. You have a bit of a business now, but your business isn't in a brick and mortar shop exactly at this point. Right. It's more of a virtual shop. And I want people to hear about it because, OP is one of these people who actually did a reading on me, actually. That happened off air, and I'm not going to talk about it. I'll leave it alone.
Oh, my God, Sam. Sorry. Chuck, I don't remember what I said during that reading, but you don't want to bring it up, do you?
No, I could bring it all up, but I'd rather focus on you right now. So, thing is, I want to talk about what it is you do, and I've now hinted you do a reading, and the only two people that I will allow to read me, by the way, is OP and Maria Heller. So, there
shout
you
out
go.
To Maria Heller,
and you know who Maria is. she's been at it a while, different style from you, but I assure you, you're traveling in the same direction toward truth at all times. So please tell people about what it is you do and your website and if you want to get to the radio shows and stuff too, do that. But I want to hear about what it is you actually do.
Sweet.
So go ahead.
Okay. So first of all, the world turtle, also called the cosmic turtle, right? Mm-hmm. And just real short is basically that we are all on its back. The whole earth is on its back and it walks through the cosmos. And so that is no weirder than flat earth or anything else, only it's poetic and it's beautiful. And so I hope that some of you will look up the cosmic or world turtle mythology, beginning of the world story. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Joseph Campbell because we love him. So I'm a cult priestess. My real name is Corinne Wilson, and I hail from Cincinnati, Ohio originally. I just got out of Los Angeles. I lived there for 7 years, and now I am in South Carolina, and I reside at occultpriestess.com. That has been my .com for 13, 14 years, maybe even longer now. So you can do the math, 2007. And I have been reading tarot cards for over 30 years. I have some very loyal clients that they can email you and tell you how awesome I am. And people listen to my advice now. And again, it's that magnetizing type of situation. And their lives have changed. And that's why I'm very keen on doing the readings and continue to do the readings no matter what else is required of me, because that's my baseline. That's what I'm best at. That's my raison d'etre. And so that's occultpriestess.com. But I have been over at YouTube for over 13 years. I have been at rockfin.com/occultpriestess for over 2 years. So I was called to the new media called to the carpet about 8 years ago. And that's when my spirit guide said, okay, we're going to do this now. And that's when I got into, the film, The Nightmare, directed by Rodney Asher, who also directed the Room 237 film about Kubrick and the moon landing and faking the moon landing. And so The Nightmare is my film, and it's just as interesting, if I do say myself, as Room 237. So I am a media maven, but I'm also here to help you grow your soul. I think you're muted.
That's odd. I was muted for some reason. Okay. Occultpriestess.com. I didn't hit it, so I don't know what happened there. I guess I was supposed to be very quiet while you spoke. So anyway, I just take it as it's supposed to have been that way. Anyhow, occultpriestess.com, that is where you reside, as you said. Now, I was on YouTube for 14 years, no longer removed.
Sorry.
But
I have to dance around them. I don't put up – if you want to find my stuff, go to Rockfin, because I put like a third of it on YouTube.
Right. I mean, you know, you're not going to get a lot on YouTube, but you're still there. So, you know, look, as long as you can be anywhere, I'm happy you are.
I'm also a gamer girl. I game and live stream. So I'm very weird.
You got Twitch going too and stuff?
I do Twitch. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, again, under Occult Priestess on Twitch as well? Or
yeah, everywhere. It's funny to be a gamer with the name Occult Priestess, but whatever.
Cool. Well, hey, look, wherever they can find you, I want them to find you, but definitely go to occultpriestess.com, check her out. And she does readings. It was fascinating what you did. I don't want to get into it because it just, you know, it was very specific and it's not really all that exciting. But, you know, but it was accurate. It was strong. It was very interesting. And I didn't give you a lot to work with, and I found that fascinating. So I don't have a tremendous amount of testimony here because I only had one reading.
Right.
But I will say that it's interesting, and really you get to know somebody through more than one reading. So, you know, I don't know what else you'd like to add here, but I'm really glad that we got to do this finally. And I definitely went, you know, a little bit lower bar because I wanted to just get an introduction out for you, because I'm hoping that you'll come back on and perhaps we can get deeper into some subjects, and maybe over on your show we can go a little bit beyond the basics.
I'd love that.
You know, I've kind of leaned off of the esoteric stuff, even though I was called to the alternate world of media there about 10 years ago. I laid off of the esoteric a lot. It just wasn't the thing that was going to work well for me, I thought. And it just, it wasn't where I felt needed. So I didn't do it. Now that doesn't mean that not in my own life, I don't do other things privately, et cetera, but that's there. This is here. So, but I'm thinking I need to change that pretty soon. So I'd like to involve you a little more often, get you on here a little more often. And, maybe, you know, look, we won't always do the video, but I definitely want to make sure your first appearance here was with the extra video, which will come out a little bit after. If you guys are listening to the audio podcast, go over to Rockfin, check out her channel over there. It's Cult Priestess on Rockfin as well, right?
That's right. Thanks.
Right. Occult Priestess on Rockfin. Check her out as you check out my videos as well. We don't have a ton of stuff up there, but I don't know. You know, we're working on it. So I'm not the video guy. The blind guy doesn't like to work in video. Okay. But I'm doing it anyway. And, you guys had to get a good look at, you know, first of all, the lovely, but also talented occult priestess. So she had to be on video tonight. That's the way that had to go. You know, I'm not just kissing up to you. I'm just telling you what I'm thinking off the top of my head. So before we get out of here, just everybody real fast. We do have a lot of the hats in. I've got the new, Ocelli hat design, which I'm wearing for myself. Now, none of these are for sale. Nope. You know what's going to happen, though, is that if you make a donation of $50, you can tell me which show you want a hat from, because I produce more than one. There's the Age of Transitions. Okay, I showed you a couple of Ocelli hat designs. Here is another Age of Transitions, right? Yeah,
that's so exciting. That
and we got also Get Mad with Chris Graves. Now his
color. Oh my gosh, Chris, you got your own hat! Wow.
His color schemes are a little weirder because he's a little weirder. We've also got Uncle, a couple, and everything, by the way, there's only a couple of each kind. Mm. So you get a unique hat, and you can choose which show you want, but I'm also going to include other swag to in your package, which I'll choose, and it'll be stuff from the network. Could be a mouse pad, could be a hoodie, could be a T-shirt, could be whatever. Again, they're thank you gifts. I'm not selling you a damn thing. I'm giving you thanks for supporting us. So get in touch with me and do that, you, the listener out there. Not UOP. I'll figure out a way I'll send
well,
you.
Well, it's the Ocelli mystery box. I am so into it.
Exactly. But again, if they want to support a particular show on their forehead, I'm all for that because I do know Third Eye is right there.
It's important. Right.
That's why they put the hat logos there, folks. But anyway, so you might want to have an Ocelli hat, or maybe you got one a couple of years ago and you want a different show. Cool. We'll get you a different one. I've got all four of the shows that we currently air, and there are more shows coming soon. So I wanted to get that in. Sorry, OP, I held you up for that. But again, you're out there on YouTube, you're out there on Rockfin, your own website, and check into and take a look at and see if you are, let's say, inspired to seek her guidance as well, because that's how I feel that should be done. Is if you feel totally an inspiration, you're looking for guidance, perhaps you should just go over there and see if that strikes you, because if it does, you get in contact with Corinne, and I'm very sure that she'll find a way to accommodate you. So that's the way that works.
Yep.
And anything you want to say in closing, Occult Priestess?
Just thank you. Thank Dave, the producer. I've been really excited to be here. Can't wait to come back. Thanks so much, guys. Great chat room tonight. Shout out to the chat room.
And my apologies to the chat room. The blind guy is barely able to operate the video camera and whatever he also does. So sorry, I don't mean to ignore you in the chat, but I appreciate you guys. If you tuned in live, if you caught it later, no matter how it is you found it, I'm happy that you did. And I want you guys to all remember something. I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening, and this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilan from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smells. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles would really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. That's the oil's rule.
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Nibiru, also known as Planet X, was going to get within the gravitational pull of the Earth and cause mass commotion and chaos?
More that. More commotion. More confusion. It goes into the confusion thing. Hey, going nut, he's going back, and it's going crazy.
I hate being confused like that.
But that's exactly how he works it.
It is, but at the Ocelli.com radio network, you're never confused.
No, it's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
It's about time. Forget this Nibiru stuff and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
.com, and he'd get it right where you want to hear it at. Right straight ahead instead of ding-donging back and forth here.
Ocelli.com.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.
Why? The Vietnam War.
By author Mike Swanson.
Quit trying to take me to task. make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lies and lie. That's why I will not comply. Since back last March, I've had an achy, breaky heart like old Billy Ray Cyrus. I've been catching a case of the blues from the news around this damn coronavirus. Now they're telling us we gotta keep our chin divers up, even if we got the shot in the arm. Nobody's talking about exercise or eating food that's fresh grown from the farm. That's why I